2014. Wow, who would have ever thought we would get to this point? Someday we'll say 2044, some of you out there, you're going to be going, who would ever thought we'd get to this point? I want to start off by saying thank you, first of all. Thank you for letting us be your pastors. Carrie and I love the privilege we have of pastoring this great flock, this great people. That's because you guys were absolutely amazing, and we don't take it for granted, and we thank the Lord for such a dedicated and faithful people that we get the privilege of calling our home church. And I wanted to thank you for that faithfulness. Faithfulness isn't just an easy thing, it's difficult. It's all those small decisions that you have to make. It's not just one decision at one point. It's all of those other little decisions all the way through that make us faithful. And I want to thank you for being faithful in your giving as well. I think we started the month, we needed about $204,000. We ended up, I think, at 10 left, and I'm pretty sure we'll probably get it by the end here. So I want to thank you all for being so faithful and so wonderful and so awesome and so devoted to giving to advance the kingdom of God. You guys are absolutely incredible. As you know, we don't really harp on giving and all that. We don't, as a matter of fact, the board says I don't speak on it enough. And we try to do at least one message a year on it, but we try to leave that between you and the Lord and your convictions to follow. And because giving's not something I can drum up and try to get out of you. It's something that becomes an attitude and a lifestyle that you are. I want to thank you for loving God, for loving others. And I want to thank you for living for God. Living for God in such a powerful way. We talked about our mission, and our mission, this statement's going to be out all the time. We'll be speaking it every Sunday, something about it. We'll talk about it so people know it. To make devoted, not casual, but devoted followers of Jesus in community, connected together, doing life together, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The second half, I'm going to be talking a lot more about this power source, this Holy Spirit that empowers us as Christians. We'll be talking a little bit about that in these next number of weeks. After I get a few other things out of the way, and we'll get to that. I was really taken by the by worship when we sang "Jesus, be the center." Isn't there something that resonates, huh? Isn't there something that resonates inside of you when we sing the song? I mean, I just get there and you just want to start weeping about Jesus be the center. It's like, well, of course, that's where he belongs. That's where he fits. That's the void everyone in life faces is this Jesus, but not just Jesus in your heart. It's got to be Jesus placed center. It's got to be Jesus dynamically in the very middle center of your life. So he instigates, operates, investigates, moves upon every aspect of our life, revolves around him at the center. And when we sing about that, something resonates. It's like deep calling to deep. We want to just jump out and grab onto something, do something, feel something, because something touches our heart in a powerful way. And that's what Jesus does, because he knows the very best thing that can happen to us is when he's at the center moving in our life in a very, 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 very powerful way. And I think for this year coming up, and I'll say a couple of things here, and the first couple of messages, like I say, I'll chat about this. But I was really taken back by the very last chapter, very last book that we read in the Old Testament, in Malachi. And Malachi is, after Zerubbabel comes back and he brings his reform and he starts the temple, and then Haggai gets, they quit the temple and Haggai gets it going and finishes the temple, and then we have Ezra rebuilds the law, and then we have Nehemiah rebuilding the walls, and then we come to Malachi some 100 years after the temple has been reestablished, been rebuilt, and there God speaks through Malachi about the heart of the people. He's going, dudes, I sent you into captivity because you were worshiping false idols. You were worshiping other things. Your heart wasn't set on me. I put you in for 70 years. I told you I was going to bring you back. We're going to reestablish. We're going to start this whole thing. You get a do-over. We're going to do a do-over. All right, we're going to do a do-over here. And all of a sudden, they did the do-over, and then they were done over. It was like it was over. They were doing the doing, but he says the heart is not harding. It's not pumping blood in there. It's just like something's going. You're going through the motions. But there's something not alive and real in there. As I was thinking about that, I thought, oh God, I don't ever want to get to that place. My purpose tonight is not a big rebuke that, hey, we've hardened our hearts and blah, blah, blah. Not that at all. It's an encouragement to never let it happen. Yes. An encouragement, never let our heart grow cold. Never let that, when they sing that song, Jesus at the center, be gone, oh, yeah, that's a cool. But then it resonates and all of a sudden it moves us and it realigns us in our life and our focus about all that we do because Jesus is the center. He's the most important. It's all about Him. Nothing else really matters. But they had gone to a place where it had gone cold. And God then, after He redid all that, gave them a redo, and then they undo after 100 years, He goes, I'm just going to set up. I'm going to set up for the next 400 years. And He shuts up for 400 years. He says, fine. 400 years, and believe me, a lot of stuff happens in 400 years. I can go through some of the stuff. It's actually quite exciting and interesting, all that happens with the Jews during that time. But God here wanted a people He could enjoy, He could bless, He could fellowship, He could father, a people with a heart, with an attitude, with a love, with a respect, with an awe, with a worship. Not something that they did, but a culture of what they were. Not something of what they did, but a culture. And I think there's something so important about culture and the culture we are as a church and the culture we are in the community and the culture. The culture is not something you drum up. A culture is what you are. And there's something very powerful in being a culture that puts Jesus Christ at the center of everything that he or she does. God's after a culture shift, a culture change where our culture becomes that. Jesus is it all. He's the most important. And that's what God was after. A people whose culture was putting Jesus first. Honoring and loving God with everything that they had. You see, they ended up going through the motions. And when you go through motions, it becomes meaningless and nothing happens. Rather than growing through the meaning. Did you put that up there? Are we dead? Huh? Oh. Going through the motions rather than growing through the meaning. And I want you to hear this. And again, this is not a rebuke. This is an exhortation to never, ever let your heart grow cold. It's a lot easier to keep the embers when they're kind of dying down to blow on them and put wood on them than it is to try to start that wet wood all over again. To keep it burning, to keep it going. They are going through these motions because they were doing it. They were worshiping, they were doing all the things, they were doing all the stuff, and God was going, you know, you're doing all of the things, but your heart isn't right. Your heart's not in it. You're just doing it. You're just, and you're just going through your motions rather than there's something meaningful, there's something significant in it, there's something that resonates inside of you. When you think about Jesus, when you think about coming on Sunday and worshiping Him, when you think about sharing with your co-worker, when you think about being at the mall and talking to somebody, when you think about Jesus at all, He just resonates something inside of you and you get, oh, I'm alive for a purpose, for a reason. Not going through motions, but growing through meaning. This is meaningful to me. It's a heart change. We need to always add meaning to our motion. Add meaning to your motion. Meaning to your actions. I'm not just doing it. I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it because it resonates something inside of me. I'm doing it because it energizes me. I'm doing it because it makes me alive for the purpose of what I was born to be. I don't ever want to grow cold. I don't ever want to grow cold. It's just blowing me, Lord. Blowing me. He doesn't care about the outside. He looks at the heart. He told the Pharisees, I don't care about what the dish looks like. What's inside of you? I don't care about your outward performance and how you look amongst everybody else. And, oh yeah, you walk the walk. Excuse me, you talk the talk. You know, you can actually walk the walk without the heart. Hey, I walk the walk. Look at that. I'm doing all that stuff. And God's going, But I'm looking inside there and I'm going to realize you're doing it all for the wrong reasons. You're not energized by it. You don't come alive by it. Going through the motion leads to lethargy and laziness, but growing through the meaning produces change. And we need to let the meaning be meaningful to us. The meaning behind our faith. The meaning behind what we do. And I think that something happens. As we let that meaning, something happened here. And I think here's what God was after. God in the Old Testament was... He had a people and he was so excited about this relationship he was having with them. And he was leading them out of the desert, out of bondage. And he was so excited to be their God. And they were going to be his people. And this is going to be, we're going to be buddies. We're blood brothers. This is cool. This is going to be fun. We're going to camp out. We're going to do some neat things. It's going to be great. And all the people diss him. And he's bumped. And he goes through thing after thing after thing after thing after thing, sets up kings, sets up a whole worship system, wants them all to worship him, and they still don't do it, and then they start worshiping other gods. Holy cow! It's not just not worship him, they started worshiping other stuff, and finally puts an end to it all. They go into captivity, come back out, the do-over, and he's, all right, here we go, did you learn your lesson? All right, this is going to be cool. We're going to start this thing, whole thing over. I'm going to be at the center. It's going to be cool. We're going to have a great relationship. I'm the God of the universe. You can ask what you want. I can move in power. I'm amazing to the people who's faithful to me. And the do-over doesn't go well. And that 100 years later, like I said, they lost it. What I think God wanted was he wanted a people that he could love, that he could be the center of, and then that people would love him, and he would enjoy being loved. I mean, when someone loves you, do you kind of go, yeah, get out of here? Or do you kind of go, it feels good to be loved? Remember, guys, that first time you took your wife out when there were, you didn't know what was going to happen there, and all of a sudden she responded positively back to you, kind of felt, dude, it was like your whole world was just going great, right? She loves me. Me. Well, of course, I'm a pretty good dude. Not really. There's just something about putting something out there and being reciprocated and love coming back. And when that love comes back to God, God starts going, oh, wow, I like this. And you see, when we respond to God's love by loving him back, by worshiping him, by letting him know he's hot, he's awesome, he's the center of our world, he's the center of everything that we are, he starts going, I like what you're doing. And therefore, he starts moving more and more into your life, bringing power and wisdom and grace and... You understand that all of a sudden there's a whirlwind of something happening in such a powerful way as we love God, as we respond to God loving us, and he loves us loving him, and he decides to bless us with his power and his grace. You see, I believe that the key to the power of God is in loving God. And as we love him, and as he enjoys being loved by us, he continues to pour out more and more and more and more and more and more to that people. I want to be that people. We're going to be talking about the empowerment of this Holy Spirit, this power that comes. And it comes because there's a people that respond to a loving God by placing him at the center and core of their life. And God responds to that with his power to walk it in an amazing way. Now, I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about that as time goes by. But do you guys resonate a little bit with that? Does that make sense a little bit? Okay, three or four of you are excited about that. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. You don't have to make me feel good. I'm going to go home and go, honey, I missed it. When we put God at the center, he responds with power. When we put God at the center, he responds in your life with power and blessing and grace and everything that you need. When I look at 2014 or 1-4, I know a lot of people have given me a lot of different words and stuff there, but I do believe that the word more is there, that we want more of Jesus. We want more of His grace, more of His power, not so that we can have and be quote-unquote blessed, but so that God can perform His will in our life in such an amazing way that that it becomes so exciting, so dynamic to be a Christian, to be a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Because when we do become that devoted follower all the way in, Christ at the center, He does amazing stuff on our behalf. Does anybody else, that's all I'm going to share right now. Does anybody else have any other thoughts or any things that they want to share? If you have any thoughts, anything you want to share, you must quickly come to the front and we'll do it. Nothing yet? If you have any other thoughts throughout the day, you know my email, phil@livingfaithfellowship.com. If you have any other thoughts that you're thinking out there, then I'm happy to hear them about where God has us going this year. I think the thing that started the message tonight too was just such an appreciation, realizing that, as I said, we needed $204,000. And then going into this, realizing we're almost there. And I thought, God, You are so good. Thank You, Lord, for being so faithful to this people. Thank You, Lord, for being so faithful. I think Pastor Joe talked about it last Sunday too, the heart of appreciation, that attitude. Attitude changes everything. And we have the attitude towards God, it changes us in a very, very powerful and wonderful way.